This morning, we are going to be studying from Genesis 18. I want to encourage you to have your Old Testament open to Genesis 18. We'll look at a few verses in the New Testament as well as we continue our Be Like series. And this morning, we're going to talk about Abraham. We're going to talk about the importance of being like Abraham, but we're going to narrow that down. Abraham gives us a lot of great lessons to learn, but we're going to narrow it down to one particular thing. We're going to talk about fatherhood. We're going to look and see how Abraham is a great example to us of a father. We're going to talk a little bit about Father Abraham and what it is that made him such a good father and a fitting father for the faithful today. In Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 through 19, and this is where God has come with two angels to visit Abraham and Sarah, lets them know that a year from that time, Sarah would have a child. And of course, Sarah laughed about that, and God addressed that. And then the angels are leaving to go to Sodom. And it's here as they're leaving that we are going to look and catch up with what's happening here. Verse 16, then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, and the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. God pays Abraham a great compliment in this passage, commending him as a great father. Now, the Bible does not diminish the role of fatherhood. The Bible holds it up as being equally important to that of motherhood. In what ways was Abraham a good father? How is he a great example of this role? And what can we learn from him? Three things I want us to consider about Abraham regarding his role as a father. Three things we need to learn from him. Number one, Abraham was a great father because he was a man of great faith. As you're studying about Abraham, that is the one thing that stands out about him, perhaps above all other things, is that he was a man of great faith. Now, we know his faith was not perfect. As we're reading through the book of Genesis, we see times when Abraham makes terrible mistakes. He commits sins. And regarding the particular sin about lying about his wife being his sister, he does that twice, and we have one of those, oh, Abraham, did you not learn moments? Well, he was learning. We get to see his faith growing as we learn about him and read about him in the book of Genesis. But there's one thing that was consistent about Abraham. He had a desire within his heart to be obedient to God and to please God with his life. Abraham had a faith that obeyed. Now, we are going to come back to Genesis, but I want to take a look at some specific examples of this obedient faith. Number one, when we're introduced to Abraham, now we're going to go to Hebrews 11, but I've got Genesis 12 here. This is where we're first introduced to Abraham. The first thing we read is that Abraham is told to move. He's at the age of 75. And at the age of 75, he is told to move. Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. And this won't be the only time we look at Hebrews 11. But Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed. And that's our point we're making here. He, like the others found in Hebrews 11, he had a faith that was obedient. He obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, we know this is true about Abraham, but I want to bring this down to us as individuals today. What if you were told that you have to move? You have to move. Now, there are some who are in this assembly this morning who would be like, Okay, we did that last year. I guess we'll do it again. And that's been something that's been common with the church in Knollwood being so close to a military base. There are those who move in and move out. But there are a lot who are here who have deep roots in this area. And the idea of moving away can be very unsettling. What if we added to that, I'm not going to tell you where you have to move. You just got to pack up and you've got to trust me where we're going. We wouldn't get a lot of people to sign up for that, would we? God told Abraham to do it, and he did it. Now, that took great faith. That took great faith for him to uproot himself at the age of 75 and move who knows where because God told him to do it. There's another example of his obedient faith in Genesis chapter 17 when he is given the covenant of circumcision. And this would be a covenant that would be handed down to his descendants. And it would characterize the nation of Israel. In Genesis chapter 17, starting at verse 23, when the covenant was given, so Abraham took Ishmael his son, all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. The very same day Abraham was circumcised and his son Ishmael. And all the men of his house, born in the house or bought with money from a stranger, were circumcised with him. Just very quickly make the point, that was not an easy thing to do. That would not have been an easy thing to convince all the men to do. But they did it, and they did it that day. We don't talk about it often, but that's an example of his obedient faith. And of course, offering his son Isaac is an example of obedient faith. And we often look to this. In Genesis chapter 22, starting at verse 2, then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. We often make that point there in verse 3, and this should be verses 2 and 3 on the slide. We often make the point in verse 3 that Abraham rose up early and did what he was told to do. He was a man who was very quick to obey. Abraham put God first in his life, even above his family. He was already doing what Jesus would later tell his apostles, he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Abraham was not a hypocrite to his children. When Abraham would later teach them and tell them to obey the Lord, he was teaching them something from his own resources. He didn't have to say, listen, do what I say, not what I do. He was teaching them to obey from his own example of faith. What does it take to be a good father? It takes an obedient faith. That's one thing we learn from Abraham. Secondly, and this is connected with faith, Abraham trusted God. His faith wasn't just shown in obedience, it was also shown in trust. And I want us to go to the book of Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 16 through 22. Remember that God had promised Abraham a son, that he would have descendants, and they would be like the stars of heaven. They'd be numbered like the sand of the seashore. But Abraham didn't have any children. And after waiting a number of years, Sarah proposed to have a child with my handmaiden Hagar. And that's where Ishmael came from. But God was very quick to say, no, your son through whom your descendants will come will be born to you by Sarah. Here, Abraham was 99 years old. He was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. And you don't have to have a PhD in biology to know 90-year-old women don't have children. But God said she would. Romans is a great commentary. Romans chapter 4 is a great commentary on looking at the trust that Abraham had regarding this incredible promise from God. Let's read Romans chapter 4, start at verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And look at verse 21. If you like to highlight verses in your Bible and you haven't highlighted verse 21 by now, do so. Verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. We often look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 as the Bible's definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A great verse, a great description of what faith is. Not so easy to get your hand wrapped around. There are some difficult concepts in Hebrews 11 and at verse 1. Might I suggest Romans 4, verse 21 as an alternate? It is a little bit easier to understand, and its application is very easy to our hearts and lives. And being fully convinced that what God promises, he's also able to do. That's faith. That is faith, and Abraham had that kind of faith. He believed what God promised him, even when it was unbelievable from a physical point of view. He believed. He trusted in God. And here's another example of his trust in God. That is when he took his son Isaac on the mountain to sacrifice him. Back to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. Hebrews chapter 11, and let's start at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Let's pause right there. Remember, God has been given this promise. Now, your descendants are going to be multiplied. And they're going to be a great nation, and they're going to have this land, and in you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. But it's not going to be through Ishmael. It's going to be through the son who's born to you of Sarah. Finally, a son is born to Sarah. Here is Isaac. Here is the promise. And before Isaac has any children of his own, God says, take him and kill him. What about the promise? What about the promise? Now, we've already read that Abraham rose up early in the morning to go and do what God told him to do. How could he do that? Look at verse 19. Look at verse 19. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. When Abraham was taking Isaac up that mountain, he had every intention to kill him. But he had already worked out in his heart that God was going to keep his promise. God would raise him from the dead. Now, we can look at this account from our perspective. The Bible is written, and we know that God has raised numerous people from the dead. But you don't read of any of that prior to Genesis chapter 22. As far as we know, that had never been done. But Abraham believed God would do it. Because God keeps his word. And just because the son was born didn't mean that the promise was fulfilled. The son had to have children. That's trusting God. Going ahead and doing what God has told you to do, even when it doesn't make any sense. That is the kind of faith that God notices. That's the kind of faith that is needed if you're going to be a good father. Do you and I have a similar trust in God? Fathers are providers. Fathers provide for their families. And one of the most important things that a Christian father provides for his household is the stability of a trusting faith. A faith that trusts in God, not just when things are going well, but when you as a family are plunged down into the valley. What is dad's faith like? What's the husband's faith like? What's the leader of the family's faith like? Is it tossed to and fro like a vessel on the waves, subject to the surroundings? Or is it strong and stable like the faith of Abraham? That is what it takes to make a good father. Third, and if we come back to our text in Genesis chapter 18, and we stay with the text here, we see that Abraham was a good father because he taught his children. Fathers can't teach what they don't know. And when God says of Abraham, he is going to teach his children after him the way of the Lord, then that meant that Abraham knew the way of the Lord. He understood that. He couldn't teach what he didn't know. So Abraham knew God, and he knew the way of God. And specifically, he knew that God's demand was of righteousness and justice, and that Abraham would be faithful to teach that to his children. Fathers in Israel were commanded to love the Lord their God with all their hearts and to teach the commandments of God diligently to their children. Well, in the church today, fathers are commanded to teach their children, to raise them up, to bring them up with the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So Abraham was faithful in teaching his children. Fathers, that responsibility is given specifically to us. It's not to be pawned off on the grandparents. It's not to be pawned off on the church. The church supplements the teaching that's being done at home. It's to be done by the parents. And if you want to be specific about it, the fathers are given the responsibility to teach their children the way of the Lord, about righteousness and about justice. Here's another thing that we notice about Abraham. Not only did he teach his children the way of the Lord, he also taught his children the proper way to worship God. If we go back to Genesis chapter 22, you remember Abraham has gotten up early in the morning. He's gotten his two servants. He's got his son. He's split the wood. He's got the fire. He's got the knife. And they're going up the mountain to worship. Verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. They're going to go worship. They're going to worship. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father? And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And of course, the verse that follows, the Lord will provide. There's a great lesson there. There are so many great lessons there. I want to point out here that Isaac had done this before. He knew something was missing. Abraham had worshipped with Isaac before. He had offered sacrifices enough that Isaac could tell that there was something that was missing. Are you fathers leading your family in worshiping God and bringing them often enough that your children know what's going on? Your children will be able to point out, hey, something's missing. That isn't right. That's the kind of father that Abraham was. He taught his children the way of the Lord. He taught his children how to worship. What makes a man a good father in God's eyes? A man who will take the command of his children and his household and teach them to keep the way of the Lord and to do righteousness and justice with others. And this takes time. It takes time to raise children. It takes time to teach children and to reinforce those lessons and to go over those lessons. It takes time to establish a track record of a good example of an obedient and trusting faith. We mentioned before that it won't do for fathers to tell children, do what I say and not what I do, to accommodate an old saying. When fathers are teaching their children, they can't afford to be writing checks that their character cannot cash. Children can spot hypocrisy, especially in their parents. And so we have to be consistent with our obedience and our trust in God as we bring that before our children and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's wrap this up. Abraham was a great father because he had an obedient faith, because he trusted God, and because he taught his children. There are a couple of things that I want to point out as we're bringing this study to a close about, once again, how the Bible holds up the example of Abraham as a father. One other thing that we often don't look at, in Genesis chapter 25, when Abraham dies, Genesis chapter 25, let me read verses 7 through 10. This is the sum of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried, and Sarah his wife. These two sons, who had every reason in the world to be estranged from each other. Remember when Isaac came on, when Isaac was born and was growing up, Ishmael was driven out. He wouldn't have anything to do with the son of promise. And Ishmael had to understand that. And Ishmael would have had every right to have animosity with Isaac. And maybe he did. But when it came time to bury their father, these two brothers put their differences aside and they came together and they gave their father an honorable burial. And that's just something about the kind of father that Abraham was. That it was important enough to the two sons here to put their differences aside and give him an honorable burial. But there's something else as Christians and as students of the Bible that we need to understand and appreciate about Abraham. Abraham, because he was a great father to his fleshly family, Abraham was given the privilege of being the father of the faithful. In Genesis chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul makes this point with a couple of verses. Galatians chapter 3 and at verse 7 says, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And then down in verse 29, and if you are Christ, that is an apostrophe S, if you belong to Christ, and that is by believing and being baptized into him, verses 26 and 27, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. No doubt next week we'll sing Father Abraham. And we are not Jews in the flesh, but we are Israelites by faith. And Abraham is our father in faith. There are some great lessons that we can learn from our father Abraham. Today's a day that the world has set aside to honor fathers. The Bible honors fathers. But the Bible holds up Abraham as a great example for fathers to be learning from. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your plan that includes the family made up of both the husband and the wife, the father and the mother. We pray that you would bless those of our number who are raising young families, those fathers who are in the trenches and who are putting forth that effort of molding young minds and young hearts. May they live an example of obedient and trusting faith before their children. And may they be ever faithful to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And may we encourage the young parents in raising up their families here at Knollwood. Help us all to learn these lessons from Abraham and to make the proper application to our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.